Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tune in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, Another Which Is Not Another. We're looking at Paul's admonition in the book of 2 Corinthians to the church at Corinth, and by extension to us as members of the body of Christ, that we not be beguiled by Satan into believing another gospel, another Jesus, and another spirit. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. That'll be our starting point for today. And as you do so, I'll remind you once again that you're watching Grace Alive, and we have several ways that you can contact us here at Grace Alive. We have a mail address, a web address, and also a toll-free phone number. And if you contact us in any one of those ways this week, first, if you have any questions or comments, you're welcome to make those. Second, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes, the CDs, or the DVDs of this entire month's series of studies, just request the series on Another Which Is Not Another, or just mention another gospel. We'll know what you mean, and we'll get you out the materials that you requested with no cost or obligation. Right now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 3 as we begin today. 2 Corinthians 11, 3, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. In this passage of Scripture, Paul, as we have seen in verse 3, is expressing his concern, his fear, that the church at Corinth, and by extension, any members of the body of Christ, might be beguiled as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so we might be beguiled. We might be beguiled in verse 4 to follow another Jesus, or to follow another gospel, or another spirit. And we've spent the first week of this study looking at verse 3 and just understanding how Satan works, understanding the subtlety with which Satan works. We started all the way back in the book of Genesis where we see him deceiving Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's what Paul says, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. We brought that all the way through till we see today in the dispensation of grace in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul warns us against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil, if you will, his penchant for making things seem to be true that are not, making us believe things that he is things that he's not, claiming to be, pretending to be God. We took that all the way out to the 70th week of Daniel, where in fact the Antichrist, the son of perdition, sits in the temple of God declaring himself to be God. As he declares himself to be God, he has taken that deceit and that trickery all the way to its full extent in that he actually claims to be God. Now, last week, we looked at how that truth, that principle, would affect another gospel, that we might believe another gospel which we have not accepted, and the church at Corinth, he's afraid, might well bear with that other gospel that they had not yet other than what they had accepted. So that other gospel, we spent some time in Galatians chapter 1, and we saw in Galatians chapter 1 where Paul deals with that other gospel, that he speaks of another which is not another. That is another gospel, which is not really another in the sense that it's not an unscriptural gospel. And we saw that what's happening with the churches of Galatia and what's happening with the presentation of that other gospel, which is not another, is not that they're being told to reject Christ, not that they're being told to reject the gospel that they had heard, but that there's other information being added to that gospel. That there's other information that is not meant to be with that gospel from another dispensation, information from a past dispensation, circumcision and the law, and that the churches of Galatia were being taught that you might begin in the Spirit, you might begin with faith in Christ, but you're now made perfect by the works of the law, by circumcision and the works of the law. And we saw that that same principle is oftentimes used today to preach another gospel, which is not another. Perhaps not with circumcision and the keeping of the law, but with other issues like being baptized, like not doing certain things, not going certain places, whatever the case might be, that these are somehow perfecting you, perfecting your flesh in God's sight. When what Paul tells the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2:20 is your flesh is crucified in his sight. Says the same thing in Galatians chapter 5, that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So it's not a matter of perfecting that flesh, it's a matter of reckoning that flesh to be dead indeed to Christ. But that's the principle of another, which is not another. It's enough of another to be error, but it's not enough of another to be clearly evident. It's very subtle. And that's what Paul says in the passage here. I fear lest any by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. It's that subtle change. It's not a 180-degree change that we're going to miss. It's that 1-degree change that we miss. And simply adding things that are scriptural but not dispensational makes it another, which is not another. But it is another, and it is, Paul goes on to say in that verse, another which is not another, but there will be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So it's another which is not another, but it is a perversion of the truth. Now today, we want to look at the first thing that Paul mentions, verse 4. If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. That someone might come and preach to them another Jesus that Paul has not preached, and that they might believe it. Well, how would you preach another Jesus than the one that Paul had preached? And remember, let's keep in mind, another which is not another. So another, it's another one, but it's not unscriptural. It's still scriptural, but it's not dispensational. It's taking another Jesus from another dispensation and putting him into this dispensation. Let's turn back to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 9, there are two ways that Jesus Christ is presented by the Old Testament prophets. He's presented first as a humble servant, as that babe born in the manger. He's presented next as a conquering king, as the one who will have the government on his shoulder. The first of those presentations, or the first, that type of presentation, is in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. This, of course, is the humble Jesus Christ coming. A virgin shall conceive, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel. If you look in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, now you're going to have the humble Jesus Christ here, but also the powerful Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9, 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, he's presented as a child, a son, but he's also presented as the everlasting father, the prince of peace, and sitting on the throne of his father David. So there is in the Old Testament, in the prophets, those two presentations. There is that presentation of Jesus Christ as the suffering servant coming in humbleness and humility. And then there's also the presentation of Jesus Christ coming again a second time in power and great glory. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. In Isaiah 61, you see those two views presented in one passage, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse number 1. We read this, Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Here's the two comings of Christ. He is sent to proclaim good tidings to the meek, to preach the gospel to the meek. He comes in humbleness, preaching the gospel. in verse 2 to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, but then also in verse 2, and the day of vengeance of our God. So he comes to present the gospel first, but then comes to present God's vengeance. If you keep your hand right there in Isaiah 61 and turn over to Luke chapter 4, you see that Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry understands the distinction between those two comings, those two different prophetic comings of Christ. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, we read this, and he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And he's going to quote here from Isaiah 61, what we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, if you read that prophecy, that passage in Luke chapter 4 carefully, where it's quoting the prophecy from Isaiah in verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You go back to Isaiah chapter 61 and read that verse, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You notice when Jesus Christ stands up and reads, he stops right in the middle of that prophecy. And he stops and says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Interesting, he didn't finish the prophecy. He stopped in mid-sentence to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, period. The prophecy goes on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Those last two things, he's not going to do yet. Those last two things, he's not doing. This day is this prophecy fulfilled in your ears. He wasn't that day proclaiming the day of vengeance of our God. He wasn't in that day providing comfort to all that mourn. Those are prophecies about the future, about his coming in wrath and judgment at his second coming, and the establishment of this kingdom, when all they that mourn will be comforted. That's out there in the future. What he was doing that day in Luke 4, that day in the synagogue, was the first part, proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, preaching the gospel to the meek, and all of that. That's what he's doing that day. You see, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry understood the distinction between those two prophetic presentations. He's presented prophetically as that one that comes meek and lowly, proclaiming the gospel to the poor. And he's presented prophetically as that one that comes in wrath and judgment, pouring out vengeance on his enemies and providing comfort to those that mourn. Those two ways. Peter, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Peter talks about those two prophetic views of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Well, start at verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ did testify, or the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The Spirit in those prophets testified the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. The prophets talked about two things. They saw Jesus Christ coming once and suffering. And then they saw Jesus Christ coming again in power and great glory, defeating his enemies and establishing his kingdom. Those are the two prophetic views of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ according to prophecy. But now, there's another Jesus in the scriptures. There's another Jesus presented. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And verse 1. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Jesus Christ appears here to Saul on the road to Damascus. And you know what's interesting about this appearance? It is not Jesus Christ appearing in humbleness and humility to proclaim the gospel to the poor in Israel, as he did in his earthly ministry. It is not Jesus Christ appearing in power and glory, exercising wrath and vengeance. Remember the prophecy back there in Psalms? The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Well, this is not that second appearance where his enemies are made his footstool and he comes in power and exercising his wrath and establishing his kingdom. This is another appearing. This is an appearing that was not prophesied. This is an appearing that was not one of those two ways in which the prophet saw him, the sufferings and the glory that should follow. This is Jesus Christ appearing in a totally unique way. You might say in a mystery way. In fact, Scripture calls the message that Paul got at this time, beginning here, the revelation of the mystery. He appears. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to what Paul says about this appearance. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul's talking about God's purpose and God's grace given to us, given to members of the church, the body of Christ, in Christ Jesus before the world began. All that God planned to do with us, with believers in the dispensation of grace, with members of the body of Christ, all of that was planned and purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That purpose, which was in Christ Jesus before the world began, is now made manifest. It's now made known by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, he set in motion a series of events that would lead to Saul's salvation, that would lead to him receiving a message, that would lead to him being commissioned as the apostle of the Gentiles, that would lead to him taking that message out to the Gentiles, that would lead to the formation of the church, the body of Christ, that would lead to the revelation of truth to the church, the body of Christ, concerning the church, the body of Christ, and our relationship to Christ as the head of that body. Not the sufferings of Christ for Israel and the glory that should follow. Not the sufferings when he came to his own and his own received him not. Not that glory of coming to establish his kingdom, but something different than either one of those. God reaching down in mercy and in his grace and saving the chief of sinners. Turn with me, if you will, back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern of longsuffering. See, he reached down. Paul, who was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, Paul, who was deserving of judgment at the return of Jesus Christ, Paul, who had been persecuting the kingdom church, Paul, who says concerning zeal, persecuting the church of God and wasting it, that man, Jesus Christ, appeared to and reached down in mercy and grace and saved and began to do something totally different. Ephesians chapter 2. What is it that he began to do? What he began to do there was to reveal a message to Paul about the formation of a new body. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. One new man, one new body, the church, the body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, reconciled together and reconciled to God in a body of believers. That's the message revealed to Paul. In chapter 3, Paul says about that message, chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 5, which in other ages, well, verse 2, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. What's that mystery? Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs into the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Gentiles made fellow heirs with Christ, of the same body with Christ, joint heirs with him, with Christ. That's the message that is revealed to Paul through that appearing of Jesus Christ. Not either of the prophetic comings, not either the prophetic appearings, but this mystery appearing, where he begins to reveal the mystery message to and through Paul. And that information, go back to Romans 16, get Romans 16, and get Acts chapter 3. Romans chapter 16 and Acts chapter 3. That information that is revealed to and through Paul comprises a body of truth called the mystery, and presents Jesus Christ based upon that mystery. Notice Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter says this, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Peter is talking about things and talking about Christ's relationship to things that have been spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Jesus Christ according to prophecy. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul says, I'm telling you things about Jesus Christ and things that relate to him, things about him that have been kept secret since the world began. There's this body of information that Peter proclaims about Jesus Christ that ties Jesus Christ into all those prophecies of the Old Testament. All those prophecies about his coming, all those prophecies about him coming weak and lowly and riding on the colt, the foal of an ass, and then all those prophecies about him coming in power and great glory and taking vengeance on his enemies. All those prophecies, and Peter says, that's the Christ I'm presenting to you. The Christ of those prophecies. Paul says, I'm presenting another Jesus. A Jesus Christ based upon the revelation of the mystery. Some information about Christ kept secret since the world began. Not made known by the mouth of all those holy prophets since the world began, but kept secret since the world began. And that's the Jesus that we're to follow today. The one that Paul presents. Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, as the head of a body of believers, Jews and Gentiles, reconciled together in one new man. That's the Christ that we're to follow. But you see, most preaching and teaching today is about that other Jesus. Either about the earthly ministry of Christ when he came meek and lowly, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's where everybody's preaching. Or about his future return, about that Jesus Christ of prophecy coming in power and great glory. The prophecy preachers, big stuff today. So the Jesus preached today is either the one back there of the Gospels or the one out there of prophecy. But very little preaching about the Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You see, they're preaching another Jesus, which is not another. Is that Jesus that came in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the same one that Paul talks about? Yeah, it's the same man, same person. But another Jesus, another dispensational presentation of Christ. We need to follow the true Christ, Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and not follow that other Jesus, which is not really another, but the message of the true Christ, of the mystery, is perverted. We'd like to invite you to write to us here at Grace Alive with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week in any one of those ways. And when you contact us, if you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear that, hear the comment, or answer the question. And we also look forward to having you request the audio or video cassette tapes, or CDs or DVDs. Just request the series on another, which is not another. And now until next week, we trust you'll be tuning in again. It's our hope that God's grace would truly be alive in your life.